Father God, receive all the glory and honor that you only deserve. Thank you for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Lord Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to me. We want to hear you in Jesus' name. Good morning. What a privilege for me is to be here and share with you this time. It is a blessing to come to this conference. And we thank God and also Pastor Scott and the leadership for inviting us to be here. So thank you very much. Last year, our mission agency renewed in itself and rebranded it. CAM International became Camino Global. Since we don't have still the prayer cards or pamphlets with personal information so that you can know us a little bit more, you can just go to the website, www.caminoglobal.org. So you can search for us over there. Okay. What I'm going to share with you this morning and some of the things that have to do with the Central American Theological Seminary in Guatemala, CETECA, applies to all Bible school, Bible institutes, seminaries around the world in the training of God's people for the ministry. So let's see a little bit of what the Lord is doing in Guatemala first.
The colonial city of Antigua Guatemala is famous for its pottery. There, the process begins with dry, rough lumps of clay. The clay is ground until it becomes smooth. Then it is put in water to soak. The process continues as the clay is prepared and placed on the potter's wheel. There the potter molds the clay while he turns the wheel. When he has finished forming the pot, he sets it out to dry. The next step is to fire it in the oven. It comes out ready to be painted. The painting process begins by grinding sand with water until it is very fine. Colors are then added to the mixture. After the pot has been painted and dried, it goes back into the oven for a second firing. The finished piece of pottery is now ready for use. In Guatemala City, another molding process is taking place. At the Central American Theological Seminary, known in Spanish as CETECA, more than 1,200 men and women are preparing for Christian ministry. These students, who represent 20 countries of the Americas and Europe, have come to be formed by the divine potter. The training process is based on God's Word. Students share the experience of learning in the classroom, growing together in the seminary community, and developing skills in practical ministry. CETECA graduates are contributing to God's work in more than 25 countries around the globe. They serve in a variety of ministries, including the pastorate, theological education, cross-cultural missions, and music. We want to share with you what some of them are doing. Moises was already working in Christian radio when he decided to study at CETECA. He wanted to be better prepared to answer the questions people were asking. Moises is now general manager of a Spanish Christian radio station on the Texas-Mexico border. He states, "It has been a joy to see many people trust in Christ as Savior and to see many others restored in their walk with Him simply by listening to God's Word on the radio. The preparation I received at CETECA has equipped me to communicate his message more effectively." Elizabeth came to CETECA from Mexico. As a student, she served in the editorial department of the seminary's Bible study program for women, known as The Joy of Serving. Since her graduation, she's written several study guides for this program. She comments, "I thank God for choosing me in His grace to be an instrument of blessing to others. He has used my training at Seteca to prepare me for this great work." Danielle and his wife minister in a residential area of Guatemala City. The church that Danielle pastors reaches out to the community through a variety of activities, including programs for children. Computer classes also serve as a bridge to young people in the area. Seminary students attending the church teach English, physical education, and ethics in the local school. Danielle says that he was challenged to community outreach through his seminary class on urban ministry. God, the Master Potter, is using Seteca to form leaders who are making an impact on the world for His glory.
Over 400 years had passed, and there was no prophet speaking the word of God in Israel. When one day there was a preacher out there in the wilderness saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of God has come near to you." And that was the message of John the Baptist. And then also Jesus came to be baptized by John. And he started the ministry, and his ministry was preaching, teaching, and doing the signs of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near to you. In the Bible, we have God explaining or presenting to us His plan, His program for the history of humankind. He created us. He created the world. He created the people. And then He started this history and He carries on the history to a goal, to the end, to accomplish His purposes, His plans, His program. And that it is gonna be accomplished in the right time. God is at work. And His plan, His mission is the call, the mission of God in this earth that we're also challenged to participate in. And because of that mission of God, He sent Jesus. And He is the central figure of this plan. And the message is on the mission of God. So that's something that I want to share with you in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10. As a matter of fact, you know, multitudes were following Jesus. But He also dedicated a special time with disciples, making disciples. And in the chapter 9, we had this mission of the 12. And it says about the same that He's going to say here also in Luke 10 with the mission of the 70. So I'm going to read for you, and you can follow there. It says, "After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place where He Himself intended to go. He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcomed you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe it off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. So we have the mission of God, and then we have Jesus here saying that the time is now. This is the time of fulfillment. This is what the people of God was waiting for so long. And that's why the crowds drew to John the Baptist first and then to Jesus to hear what he had to say about God's program for his people and for this world. Time of fulfillment. The harvest is plentiful. Look at the needy world we are in. They need God. They need God. We open the newspapers or watch the news on TV and we realize how is this world doing. We are in the times of same-sex marriage. We are in the times of dysfunctional families, of children's abuse, all kind of domestic violence. You know, we hear the stories. Our youngest daughter, Sarah, she works for Brighter Tomorrows in Dallas, and she's the coordinator of the domestic violence programs. And it's, you know, the violence in the homes is growing. The abuse is growing. And you wonder sometimes what's happening to these families and to people, you know, now in these times. And the violence and the crime and the unsafetiness that we live in the midst of, like in Guatemala. You know, the number one problem in Guatemala and in so many other places in the world is crime. It's violence. And it's all, you know, in Guatemala you can be killed for a cell phone or a few, you know, dollars or quetzales. And it's not only that people can kill you just because you took a parking spot. I mean, people kill in ways that, you know, I mean, only degraded society has got into that point. You know, it's a very low point in human history. You know, we see things that is crazy and it's hard to understand. We saw in the news like prisoners in jail playing soccer with the head of a person they killed. You know, they cut in pieces those bodies and then they put them on plastic bags and appear in different sites in the city. They are sending messages to other gang members of rival groups, you know. They extortion people. They kill if somebody doesn't want to pay. We live in the times of terrorism where when people is, you know, they are ready to put explosives in their bodies and die just to kill others and let them know what they think or, you know, what their beliefs are. This is the time where Christians are being jailed in Iran. You know, they are being killed in some other places for just being witness of God, the only and true God. Because we are in times where people are encouraged to believe almost anything. You can create your own cult, your own belief, but you are really repressed and persecuted if you believe in Jesus. In God, the Father, you know, in the Bible. So the human rights or the religious liberties are repressed for Christians, but they are encouraged for others. You can say anything that is immoral, or you can believe on anything that is strange. But if you say something about the Jesus and the God of the Bible, then you might be in trouble. That's the time. Such are the times that we are living in. So this world needs God. They need a redeemer. They need transformation from the inside out, a spiritual transformation. So the harvest is plentiful. And so that's why Jesus, the Messiah, King, God Himself, came to this world. And He brought the gospel with Him. The good news of the kingdom, says the gospel. The good news of salvation, says the Apostle Paul. For all of those who believe. And this is a transformational belief, you know. It's not religion. It's not church. It's a personal relationship with God through Jesus. The only way. There is no other way. There is no other truth. It's just Jesus. He came to reconcile us with God. And He paid the price of our sins on the cross. He substituted us on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. And that we have this redemption in Christ that provides the eternal life that we already possess if we are in Christ. And that we are going to enjoy. So whatever we have right now, and is precious and is valuable, our relationship with God, our freedom to worship Him and to serve Him, so it's something that is going to even be beyond our understanding when the Lord comes back and completely rules in this world and establishes this kingdom on earth. So that's going to be, and that's going to happen, okay? And we are going to enjoy this, and we value this, and I hope we all value this to the point of really rejoicing for what we have, and really caring for what we have, and administrating, you know, what the Lord has given to us, so that we can start here, you know, rejoicing and worshiping God, you know, so that when we are with Him, we are really trained to live in the kingdom of God. But the laborers are few. That's what it says here. The laborers are few. So we know that in God's plan and in His program, He's going to accomplish everything He promised. That He's going to accomplish His goal, His purpose for humankind. And this is probably beyond salvation and beyond what we understand now. We actually don't think we comprehend the totality of God's reality and spiritual life that we are part of right now. But that we will see the consummation of that, the full picture of that when we are with the Lord. The laborers are few. So Jesus presents in this passage, you know, illustrates very well what the strategy is. You know, when we are planning and thinking, okay, we have this task before us, so we have to know things like now, the timing of it, the how, the where. And so this is the strategy, you know. And Jesus is presenting, as a matter of fact, He's speaking more about the strategy here than the plan. He's dedicating some of the, you know, more verses here for that, because it is important to know that God is not just doing something, doesn't know exactly how that's going to happen. There is nothing that really surprised God, okay? We might be surprised by a tornado, by the way. I was surprised by the tornado, you know, in the wind last Sunday. Thank you for the welcoming, by the way. You know, after church, driving there, I couldn't see much, you know, and the hail and the wind and everything. That was quite an experience for us, you know. Oh, that was something. So you know, we are surprised. We might be surprised for, you know, all this natural catastrophes going on around the world. And, you know, how lives can be lost in a second. Or how things can be destroyed in a moment. We are surprised by things that the Lord allowed in our own lives, like illnesses, like problems with people, like the problems in churches and in the ministries. It's not all so easy. So we are surprised, but the Lord is not surprised. He knew what humankind needed, and He provided for it even before the foundation of the earth. That's what the Bible says. Even Jesus was predestined, you know, even before time for us, human beings that are limited by time. And we for us, the past, the present, the future, and God has everything just before Him in an eternal present. He sees everything. He knows everything. And He is accomplishing what He has determined to accomplish. No surprises for Him. You know, that's what I said. That goes beyond our own comprehension of what God is doing in the world and in our lives too. So if we seek God more, if we serve Jesus more, if we are more in tune with the Holy Spirit, who is God? The Lord Holy Spirit in our lives, we probably could see a little bit better, understand a little bit better and more. And so we could actually see how God sees and feel like how God feels and do what God is calling us to do without blocking or without stumbling or without doubting or, you know, really into what the Lord is calling us to do. In His strategy, Jesus first made disciples. The multitudes were following Him. But He dedicated some special time with the smaller group, with 12, with 70, with 120 in the upper room, you know, after He ascended to heaven. And they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. So after discipling, He commissioned it. He appointed, He called laborers for His harvest. And, you know, here I see that this, that He sent them in pairs. I could see here teams of missionaries, you know, or people serving the Lord, not by themselves, not alone in the world. As a matter of fact, the world is a difficult place to be. So we need companionship. We need support. And so that's what's happening here when He sends them in pairs to every town or place where He Himself intended to go. We don't have a record in the scripture that Jesus went to every town in Israel, but He wanted to go to the towns of Israel to preach about the kingdom of God. But here He says that to every town where He Himself intended to go, He sent this 70. And He also explained to them how the funding, how the provision was going to be for them. Excuse me. And this is really interesting. It tells them, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. You know, in those days, those greetings, you know, still Middle Eastern people, you know, they are very hospitable, and they, you know, may have a meal and you know, kiss each other, you know, and I mean, just share life. But now, this demanding times, the urgency of preaching the gospel. It says, greet no one. It's not saying to be disrespectful. It's just saying to focus on the task and the mission. And so take no purse, no bag, no sandals. Whatever house you enter, for say peace to this house, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. And, you know, I said in the first service, this church does very well with that. You know, all missionaries come and we gain weight during this week, you know. We are really well fed, well attended, very well taken care of. And we appreciate that. You know, we had here, you know, medical appointments, you know, and Maria had this massage thing, you know, and I mean, oh, thank you very much. You are really good hostess people. Very sweet. I would like to take you to Guatemala. Okay. So that's what we're doing here. And it says, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Wow. There is another passage that you might remember when Jesus was talking with the disciples, you know, about what they had to leave to follow him. And he said that, well, we left home, we left family, and the Lord told them that for those who have lived things, family, houses, relatives, you know, we will have here more family, houses, and places, you know. And that's exactly what happens in ministry, you know. We have a wider family now. We have so many homes now. I wish I had this home that we are right now here in Guatemala, but that's okay. But we, you know, that's what the family of God is about. And so we are really seeing that fulfillment also in that sense. If we look for a biblical, Bible proof for short-term missions, long-term, probably this is one of those passages that can help. Because here, in chapter 10, we see like a short-term missions thing going on. You know, so take no purse, no bag, no sandals, and go. And they came back and reported what they did. And you find this in the next verses. But then it also, kind of changed in chapter 22 of Luke. And says in chapter 22, verse 35, he said to them, when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, no, not a thing. He said to them, but now, the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I'll tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled. So things are going to change. Things change. But the harvest is plentiful. Now is the time. The time of fulfillment. Jesus has come. Now is the commissioning to go. To go and proclaim the gospel. So that's what it says here. So we thank God that he is in control of all of these areas in life. And we pray, you know, we had a habit in Camping Crusade of praying at 3 p.m. for people in ministry. The ones that are serving in faraway places, missionaries. The pastors who are taking care of churches in other places. The preachers that are proclaiming everywhere that the Lord will care, you know, that the Lord will protect them of the dangers, that He will provide for their needs, and that He will use them boldly to proclaim the gospel so that the mission can be accomplished. And the kingdom of God can be extended and can be established by God Himself when Jesus Christ returns. And sometimes we wonder now, like the Bible says, will the Lord find faith? How will the Lord find us? Will the Lord find the church holy, spotless? We have to think about it and get prepared. So ministry, just a line here that says in verse 9, cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Just summarizing that and then saying that there are so many things to do in ministry. But doing and telling, cure the sick and say the kingdom of God is near to you. I mean, there are many things in ministry. And as you know, the ministry has been changing through the years. Now there is a lot of social ministries, which are a big need. There are orphanages. There are city ministries. There are ministries dedicated to abuse women. There are ministries to help people make a better living, you know. Ministries dedicated to health and others, which is really good, but we have also to tell the gospel. Years ago, Christians, especially in Latin America, you know, were accused of just proclaiming verbally the gospel and not doing much for the needs of the people. So sometimes we go to extremes, you know. And so we think, okay, the mission is being done by World Visions or Compassion International or the big, you know, organizations that go and do world relief. But the ministry is doing and telling. So we have to tell them why we do what we do. Why we are the way we are. It's because of Jesus. It's because God has a plan. And because everything that is happening even in the world has to do with God's plan. And He wants God wants nobody to condemn, to be condemned, but to be saved, to repent, so that they can also, you know, enter into this plan of God that has to do with the kingdom of God on earth. Doing and telling, cure the sick and say the kingdom of God has come near you. Well, teaching to the nations. Like, what a blessing for us to be part of this. And as was mentioned, when I was just a new believer with long hair, jeans, boots, motorcycle, you know, sharing the gospel, stopping somewhere and saying, do you know about Jesus? And then, you know, taking the names and the dates. And one of those was Armando that you met. And then, you know, years later, being at the seminary teacher, teaching a class, and then Armando was there, first year. And then he went back to El Salvador and be a pastor for 17 years before he was invited to another seminary in Guatemala to be a chaplain. So what a blessing. And so there are others. There are others. Many others. There are stories that we could tell, and we don't have the time for that. But we have Grand Deng in South Sudan. What a neat story. Grand, that's Grand there. You know, the Cubans went to help the revolution in Sudan years ago. and Gran learned Spanish. They went to Cuba. But then he became a believer. You know, he didn't accept that there was no God like the Cubans were teaching him. So he came to Guatemala to seminary. And now he's back in South Sudan. This is a new country, by the way. It was just to be one Sudan, now it's South Sudan. And so he's there. And he joined a mission agency in Guatemala to be able to go back to South Sudan and do the ministry there. These are just some of the pictures I got on Facebook for some of my friends. So there they are. I'm not going to be there. I think I'm not going to be there. Or in Germany with Gustavo. Or in Ecuador with Hermes del Salto. Or in Bolivia, Javier Solis just finished seminary about 3 weeks ago. He was flying. That's a picture in the plane. Jesse Larson, Ana Maria's niece, she went to seminary. Now she's in Egypt, and she's doing Zumba lessons to Egyptian girls as a ministry. Wow. Richard Serrano in Venezuela. Venezuela needs our prayers. Young teachers at CETECA that I had the opportunity to recruit and develop, you know, that's what we do. And others do that too. I mean, it's just a blessing. The church planters in Cuba. David Medina in Mexico. And so on and so forth. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this world and in our lives. And thank you because it's your plan, your mission, the mission of God. Thank you for sending Jesus to rescue us and to rescue others. Lord, we ask you this morning, send laborers to the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, and this is the time. Your kingdom come. Your will may be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Help us and lead us to make the best use of everything you have given us to administer so that your work can be done. And thank you for the part this church plays in it, and for us also the privilege of co-partnering together in the ministry in Guatemala and from there to the rest of the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.